Welcome to Canada Immigration News Podcast 93.
It's great to be back. And, today I think we really need to throw out the idea that Canada is just one big uniform destination for everyone.
Oh, absolutely. I was looking through these updates for January 2026, and it just struck me, this isn't a single country's immigration policy. It feels more like a marketplace.
That is the perfect way to frame this deep dive.
Right. You have different provinces selling completely different lifestyles.
Exactly. If you're an immigrant today, you're not just moving to Canada. You're shopping. You're looking at what's on the shelf. Alberta's selling affordability. British Columbia, well, they're selling premium access, but at a premium price.
And Manitoba.
Manitoba's selling quality of life, health, and the federal government. I mean, they're basically just trying to keep the store from getting too chaotic.
So let's help our listeners shop a little. What's on the menu for today's deep dive?
We've got four pretty distinct stories that I think cover the whole spectrum of the immigrant journey. First, we're going to start in Alberta, where the housing market is, it's essentially defying gravity compared to the rest of the country.
Okay.
Then we'll have a bit of a tough conversation about money. We have to look at British Columbia's new fee structure for their provincial nominee program.
The part where we tell people to open their wallets?
Unfortunately, yes. After that, we'll move to a really critical update for international students. It's about a freeze on work permit eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to explain what frozen really means, because it's not as scary as it sounds.
Right.
And then we'll wrap up with a feel-good story out of Manitoba about recruiting doctors and how tech is changing the whole waiting room experience.
I love it. Housing, fees, study rules, and healthcare. It's basically the hierarchy of needs for any newcomer.
Ideally, yes.
So let's start with that foundation. Housing. For years, the headline in Canada has just been, crisis. Not enough homes, prices too high, rent is impossible. But then I see these numbers from Alberta for 2025, and it feels like I'm reading a report from a different decade.
It really is an outlier.
Hmm.
The big headline is that Alberta isn't just building, they are smashing records. To put a specific number on it, in 2025, over 53,000 new homes broke ground across the province.
53,000. Okay, numbers like that can get abstract pretty fast. Is that just, good or is it historically strange?
It's historic. But to really get the scale, you have to look at market share. Alberta has, less than 12% of Canada's total population?
Right, about 1 in 10 Canadians.
But in 2025, they delivered nearly 25% of the entire nation's housing starts.
Wait, so you're saying almost a quarter of every single shovel hitting the dirt in Canada was in Alberta?
Exactly. They are punching way, way above their weight class. And it's accelerating. The data shows Q2 of 2025 wasn't just a good quarter. It was the strongest quarter for housing construction in the province's entire history.
Wow.
We're talking over 17,000 starts in just 3 months.
That is incredible momentum. But I have to play devil's advocate here. Usually when we hear about these housing booms, it's all just condo towers in downtown Toronto or Vancouver units that, a family can't actually live in. Is this just a Calgary and Edmonton story?
And that's actually the most interesting part of this report. It's not just the big cities. I mean, sure, Calgary and Edmonton are growing, but we're seeing this sharp, aggressive growth in mid-sized communities, places like Grand Prairie, Medicine Hat, and Red Deer.
So the cranes are up in the smaller towns, too.
They are. And that signals something important. The economy is decentralizing. It means jobs and infrastructure are spreading out, which is a huge opportunity for an immigrant who maybe doesn't want the chaos or the commute of a massive city.
Right. You go to Red Deer, you might actually get a backyard. But let's get to the so what here. Why does this matter for you, the listener? Does building 53,000 homes actually lower your rent?
It does. It comes down to basic economics. Supply and demand. When you flood the market with supply, prices have to stabilize. And the data shows that nearly 20,000 of those new builds were purpose-built rental units.
Okay, purpose-built rentals, so apartment buildings owned by companies, not just someone renting out their basement.
Correct. It's stable, long-term rental stock. And because of that influx, Alberta's average asking rent has actually fallen faster than the national average. So while rents are climbing everywhere else due to scarcity, Alberta's basically hanging up a sign that says, "We have vacancies."
That is a massive differentiator. I mean, if you're sitting in a coffee shop in Mumbai planning your move, and you see one province where rent is skyrocketing and another where it's actually coming down.
The decision almost makes itself. It signals that the province is truly open for business. It reduces that anxiety of landing. You know you'll find a place.
So, if Alberta is the place where you get great value for your money, let's move west to British Columbia, because looking at this next update, BC feels like the luxury boutique where they check your credit score at the door.
It's a fair analogy. If Alberta is about volume and affordability, BC is positioning itself as a premium destination. And as of January 2026, the price of admission just went up.
We're talking about the BC Provincial Nominee Program, the BCPNP. What's the damage?
The new fee for skills immigration applications is now set at $1,750 Canadian dollars.
$1,750. Wow. That's a serious chunk of change.
It is. And just to be clear who this hits, this applies to the skilled worker stream, the entry-level and semi-skilled stream, and the health authority stream.
Okay, so I need to understand the mechanics. Do I have to pay $1,750 just to create an account and say hello?
No, and that's a vital distinction. The registration of your profile, that's still free. You can put your name in the hat without paying a cent. You only pay the $1,750 if you're invited to apply and you actually submit the full application.
Okay, so you only pay when things are getting serious, but still, $1,750, is this just a cash grab by the province?
It's easy to be cynical, but the province frames it as a sustainability issue. You have to look at the volume. Application numbers are through the roof. Processing thousands of these complex files requires staff, tech, fraud detection.
So they're shifting the cost from the taxpayer to the person applying.
Precisely. It's a trend we're seeing across a lot of provinces. They're basically saying, if you want this premium service, you have to help fund the infrastructure that makes it possible.
I guess that's fair, as long as the service is actually good. But we need to make sure listeners understand the total bill here. $1,750, that's not the final invoice, is it?
Not at all. That is only the fee to the province of British Columbia. It doesn't replace the federal fees you pay to IRCC for permanent residence or biometrics or medicals.
So you're layering this on top of everything else. It's becoming a very expensive process.
It is.
There was also a specific warning in the update about fraud. What's going on there?
It's a classic pattern. Whenever a government raises fees, scammers jump in, they use the confusion. You'll get an email saying, oh, due to the new fee, you need to wire transfer $1,750 immediately to secure your spot.
And I'm guessing the province does not accept wire transfer?
Never. The province was very clear. You must use the BC PNP online portal. That is the only place you should be entering payment details. If anyone asks you to pay outside that portal, it is a scam, period.
Okay, solid advice. But let's go back to the value. You're asking a family to shell out nearly $2,000 just for the provincial step. Why do that? What are you actually buying?
You're buying certainty.
Yeah.
And speed. That's the trade-off. People choose BC because of the Express Entry BC alignment.
Break that down for us.
If you get that provincial nomination, you receive 600 points towards your CRS score.
Your comprehensive ranking system score, right?
And in the Federal Express Entry pool, 600 points is, well, it's basically a golden ticket.
It guarantees you get picked.
It effectively guarantees you'll get an invitation to apply for permanent residence in the very next draw. You bypass all the uncertainty.
I see. So it's like buying a fast pass at a theme park. Everyone else is in the regular line for hours hoping they get on the ride. You pay extra, you walk through the VIP gate, and you're done.
That's the perfect analogy. If you have the skills they need and you have the budget, that $1,750 isn't a fee. It's an investment in months or even years of your life that you don't have to spend waiting.
Okay, when you put it that way, the return on investment is actually pretty good.
It's immense.
All right, so Alberta is volume, BC is the VIT lane.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the group that has the hardest time navigating all this, international students. We've got a headline about a freeze on the PGWP eligibility list.
Yes, IRCC has officially frozen the post-graduation work permit eligibility list for 2026.
Now, frozen is a scary word. When I hear freeze, I think stop. I think nobody gets in. Is that what's happening?
No, and it's so important we de-escalate that panic. In this context, frozen is actually about stability. It means no new fields of study will be added to the eligibility list, but crucially, none will be removed for the rest of the year.
So the menu is set. The kitchen isn't changing the special of the day halfway through dinner.
Exactly. The eligibility is tied to something called the CIP code, the classification of instructional programs.
A CIP code? That sounds like some deep bureaucratic filing system.
It is, but it determines your future. Every study program in Canada has one. For a while, there was this fear that the government might just constantly tweak the list, add a program in March, remove it in July. That creates chaos for a student.
Oh, yeah. Imagine enrolling in a program because it leads to a work permit, and then 6 months later, they just cut it from the list. It'd be a nightmare.
Exactly. So this freeze is the government saying, look, Here's the list for 2026. It will not change. You can plan your life around this.
So let's role play this. I'm a student. I'm already in Canada in a classroom. My program is on the list. Am I good?
You are safe. Proceed with confidence.
Okay, scenario two. I'm in a program that's not on the list, but my professor told me, hey, we're lobbying. We think this major will be added soon. What about me?
You need to face the hard reality. It's not going to happen in 2026. The door is closed for changes this year. Do not bank your future on a rumor.
That's tough, but it's better to know now. What about the people who haven't even arrived yet? The prospective students looking at those glossy brochures?
This is where we need to be very loud.
Yeah.
You cannot trust a brochure that says potentially eligible. Marketing is not policy. You need to find the specific CIP code for that program.
Can I just ask the school for that?
Yes. Ask the admissions office. What is the CIP code for this specific course? Then you go to the official IRCC website and you match it against the frozen list. If it matches, great. If it doesn't, do not enroll if your goal is a work permit.
It really shifts the responsibility, doesn't it? You can't just be a student anymore. You have to be your own immigration lawyer.
You have to be strategic. The era of come study whatever you want and figure it out later is completely over. The system is aligning strictly with what the labor market needs.
Harsh, but necessary. Okay, we've covered some heavy ground, housing, fees, strict student rules. I want to finish on a human note. Let's talk about Manitoba, because they seem to be solving a problem that money can't always fix. Seeing a doctor.
This is a really encouraging story to end on. Manitoba has successfully recruited 13 U.S. trained physicians to work in the province.
Now, I can hear people saying, 13, that's a soccer team, not a healthcare system. But there's more to it, right?
There is. You have to see this as part of a larger wave. In 2025, Manitoba added 285 doctors in total. These 13 are just the latest specialized recruits.
For anyone who sat in a walk-in clinic waiting room for 6 hours, 285 new doctors sounds like a miracle.
It makes a massive difference. And they're not just throwing bodies at the problem. They're using technology to fix the flow. They rolled out a system called Medenav.k.
Medavel, like a GPS for health.
That's basically it. It helps match patients with available providers in real time. In 2025, it facilitated nearly 50,000 visits. And the result is what matters. The data shows Manitoba now leads Canada in same-day or next-day access to healthcare.
Wait, leads the country. So if I wake up with a fever in Winnipeg, I have a better chance of seeing a doctor quickly than if I'm in Toronto.
According to the data, yes.
That is a massive quality of life win. I am fascinated by the U.S. angle, though. Usually we hear about the brain drain going south. Why are American doctors coming north?
It's an interesting reversal. It comes down to burnout. The American healthcare system is administratively exhausting. Doctors down there spend so much time arguing with insurance companies, handling billing.
So they come to Manitoba and they just get to be doctors.
They get to focus on patient care. The public system removes that whole layer of commercial stress. Plus, they often cite a better work-life balance.
That makes sense. And for our listeners who might be foreign-trained doctors themselves, what's the signal here?
The signal is that Manitoba has a working pathway. They aren't just talking about recognizing credentials. They are actively doing it. They have an office that helps with licensing and immigration.
So it's not just, we need you. It's, we will help you get here.
Exactly. The infrastructure is there to support you.
So we've covered a lot of ground. Alberta building like crazy. BC charging a premium. The feds locking down student rules. Manitoba fixing the doctor shortage. How do you synthesize all this?
I think the main takeaway is that the Canada you experience depends entirely on where you land. It's not a one-size-fits-all landscape anymore.
You really have to shop for what matters most to you.
Correct. If your priority is low rent and finding an apartment without a bidding war, Alberta is screaming your name. The housing data is undeniable.
And if you have some savings and your priority is just get me permanent residence as fast as possible.
Then you look at British Columbia. You pay the fee, you get the points, you get the result. It's a transaction.
And if you're a student?
You need to be a technician. Check the CIP code. Do not guess. The rules are frozen, so use that clarity to your advantage.
And if you're worried about quality of life, raising a family, and making sure you can see a specialist,
then Manitoba is showing that they're investing in the systems that take care of people.
One thing that stood out to me is the long-term thinking here.
That would be my final thought. Don't just look at where the jobs are today. Look at where the infrastructure is being built for tomorrow. Alberta building 53,000 homes isn't just about today's rent. It's about supporting a population 10 years from now.
So don't just follow the crowd. Follow the cranes and the doctors.
Well put. Look for the provinces that are investing in the future you want to be a part of.
This has been a fascinating look at the map. It's always interesting to see how numbers on a spreadsheet like housing starts or fee hikes translate into real-life decisions for families moving across the world.
It's the most important journey they'll ever make, so the details really do matter.
They certainly do, and we'll keep tracking those details for you. Thank you for tuning in to another deep dive with us. We hope this helps you navigate your own Canadian journey with a little more confidence and a lot more clarity.
Stay curious.
For more latest update on Canada immigration, visit and follow Canada Immigration News.